Vermont Viewpoint is a public affairs program produced and funded by WDEV and the Radio Vermont Group. We welcome listener feedback. Email your comments to vtviewpoint@radiovermont.com.
Good morning. This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV. I'm Rick Singeri, and welcome to Barry. This morning, we're coming to you from the offices of Capstone Community Action. And this is the week of Giving Tuesday, also the week that Capstone has launched its annual Fuel Your Neighbors campaign. So we'll be learning a lot about that through the morning. We're going to spend time talking about the programs that Capstone administers to help those in need throughout Central Vermont. Let's begin this morning getting an overview of what Capstone Community Action is all about and look at its many programs. Here to take us through that is Executive Director Sue Minter. Sue, welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint.
Thanks so much for being here in Barrie with us at Capstone Community Action, Rick.
Oh, thank you for having us. And listeners, if you'd like to ask Sue about Capstone or you want to share how you've been supported by their work, you can give us a call, 802-244-1777 or 877-291-8255. First of all, give us that kind of overview of like the mission of what Capstone Community Action is.
Thanks, Rick. You know, Capstone Community Action has been around since 1965.
Wow.
It was really developed out of the War on Poverty from the Johnson administration. And actually, we're part of a network of community action agencies, both here in Vermont. We're one of five community action agencies in Vermont, but over 1,000 across the country, all of whom share this mission of helping people get out of poverty. Each organization is its own nonprofit organization. We have shared missions. Some of us share the same programs, especially programs that our federal and state governments fund. But we also do unique things at each and of us on our own. But what our key is really, it's what we call a two-pronged approach. We help people in crisis. And we'll be talking today about the crisis that we serve folks who can't afford to heat their homes or feed their families adequately, and that's the key to our Fuel Your Neighbors campaign. We're working hard to raise money to help people stay warm and never have to choose between, you know, feeding their family or heating their home. But it's a piece of what we do in our crisis services. We also help people find secure housing. We support those who are unhoused throughout our service area. But we also give people the tools to get out of poverty, and that's what I'm excited that you'll be learning about.
Yeah.
You know, our workforce development programs, like our Community Kitchen Academy. We support people in understanding how to manage their money, how to get out of debt, how to establish credit and build assets. We have our flagship program really is our Head Start early education, really breaking the generational cycle of poverty. And we also do home weatherization, helping people lower their fuel costs by actually insulating their homes. And we support low-income people in their ability to do that.
You mentioned that there are five community action offices or agencies throughout the state. So is there a specific area? Who do you serve here at Capstone?
Capstone is in Central Vermont. Some people may remember we used to be called the Central Vermont Community Action Council, CVCAC. It got rebranded about a decade ago. But Central Vermont includes Washington County. It includes Orange and Lamoille County. Our partner organizations include the Champlain Valley Office of Economic Opportunity, and they serve really northwestern Vermont. So that includes Burlington, Chittenden County, as well as Franklin and Grand Isle, and Addison County.
Oh, okay.
Then going down the western part of the state, in the southern part of the state, we have Brock Community Action. That's Bennington and Rutland counties. In the Northeast Kingdom, we have NECA. And then in the southeast, SEVCA, the Southeast Vermont Community Action. So those are the five organizations that all work at a very grassroots level to help people in crisis and help people get out of poverty.
Now, I mentioned the Fund Your Neighbors campaign just kicked off, and people can go to fundyourneighbors.org to see more about this, to make a contribution. But what is that all about? I know this is an annual campaign. It's a big thing for Capstone.
Yes, Fuel Your Neighbors, fuelyourneighbors.org. This is a way that all our neighbors here in central Vermont and beyond can actually help contribute to the funds that people may receive when they can't actually fill their fuel tank, get their space heater. It is literally focused on helping people stay warm, particularly through these winter months, but also helping people who come to our food shelf. You know, we have the largest food shelf here in central Vermont. But our food shelf is what we call as becoming more of a mobile food pantry. We are now distributing not only to folks in their homes who may not have access to us, but also to organizations into the most rural areas that we serve here in Orange, Lamoille, and Washington County. So all of that costs money. We purchase food. We do get donations of food, and especially from the gleaning program, Central Vermont Community Harvest, huge supporters of us. We also have to purchase food, and you'll learn about the ways in which we also cook food and have prepared meals for families who need that.
All right, and if you reach your goal, first of all, what is the goal this year?
Yeah, fuelyourneighbors.org, folks, please come help us. Our goal is ambitious. It's to raise $300,000 in 100 days. Now, WDEV helped us kick off the campaign on Giving Tuesday, and we are thrilled that we actually raised over $15,000on Giving Tuesday. We were helped by matching supporters. But we know that we have to keep raising money because, as you'll learn today, people continue to come to us with really dire needs. At this time of year, as it gets cold, people literally have to choose how to heat their home or whether they can afford their medicine, whether they can afford the food that they would like to have. So these are difficult times for many, but an opportunity who those who have plenty can support neighbors in need at fuelyourneighbors.org.
In a typical year, how many people, how many households do you help through the Fuel Your Neighbors campaign?
Well, we help with all of our services over 10,000 Vermonters each year.
Wow.
Fuel Your Neighbors, I mean, it's hard to aggregate because it's all of the people who come to our food shelf, and it's all of the people who we help with fuel assistance, especially crisis heating. So I would say that's between 5,000 and 8,000 people in a year.
20 months into this pandemic and a new variant, so no real end in sight. Why is the campaign really important this year?
Well, it isn't just the pandemic, but I think pandemic is related to the economic challenges, not only that people find themselves in, whether they can't be fully employed, and we can talk about that, but the cost. Right now, the cost of fuel, especially fossil fuel, is skyrocketing. You know, we heard over 50% increases early in this season, but also the price of food. And even the shortage of certain staple items. So all of this is costing us more, but most importantly, consumers more. So what we're finding is people who have never needed help before coming to us. It's hard for people who really don't want to ask for help. And we do want to say that if you find yourself in need this year for any reason, we're here for you. That's what Capstone is here for. So you can always call us at 1-800-639-1053. We can help people with housing crises, with food, with heat, with credit and debt. There are many ways in which we can support you. So please do not hesitate if you need help. Call us at Capstone Community Action, 1-800-639-1053. And we can even bring food to you. We have a whole slew of volunteers that help us on a daily basis.
We're sitting here in your offices in Barrie, but you mentioned a pretty wide swath of central Vermont, Orange, Washington, and Lamoille County. So do you have other offices, other locations where people can meet up with Capstone representatives?
Absolutely. We have offices in Morrisville. On Industrial Lane. We have offices in Randolph as well as in Bradford. Those are our main offices. In Barrie, we have this main office as well as a Head Start school and down the street on Brook Street. And in Morrisville, our Head Start and our service center is actually combined. So you can reach us at that phone number, 1-800-639-1053. But you can find us in Morrisville, in Barrie, in Randolph, and in Bradford. You can talk one-on-one with someone to support you in crisis.
All right. Individuals can help support you right now at fuelyourneighbor.org. What kind of support do you receive from the businesses in the community?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I want to make sure we recognize our key partner in this Fuel Your Neighbors is VSECU, the Vermont State Employees Credit Union, is really our partner. They helped us initiate this effort in 2016. We raised over $800,000 to date, and we actually hope that this year's campaign will take us over the $1 million mark. It's an incredibly important time to support your neighbors in need. As winter approaches, as people don't necessarily have enough to both heat their home and feed their family, this is a way you can help your neighbor in need at fuelyourneighbors.com. Or if you need our help, please call us at 1-800-639-1053.
All right. Sue Minter, Executive Director of Capstone Community Action, thanks so much for getting the show rolling here. Now we're going to learn about individual programs. And we're going to start with Food Shelf Coordinator Tina Silva. Tina, welcome to Vermont Viewpoint.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, if you've got a question about Capstone's work, you can call us at 877-291-8255 or 802-244-1777. Tina, when someone shows up at a food shelf, what are you able to provide for them?
So typically we do a quick application, and they will receive a bag of food that is shelf-stable, a bag of frozen meats, which is normally three different types of meats, fresh eggs, butter, bread, all the necessities to get you through the day.
And the people who come to the food shelf might already be receiving assistance from, like, Three Squares Vermont. So how does this what you do, what you provide, supplement the needs of a household?
Normally, sometimes their funds don't make it through the month, and we also have a lot of people that have not applied for Three Squares and other programs that are out there that are now visiting us, you know, that normally haven't visited us.
Yeah.
So we get them through until they can get the help that they need with other programs, and they are more than welcome to continue visiting us on an as-needed basis. That's what we're here for.
For any of us who have been to a grocery store in the last 6 months, know the cost of everything has
yes, and it has for us also to bring the food in to provide for our clients.
Yeah,
that's one of the reasons that, you know, Fuel Your Neighbor campaign is so important. It helps take some of that burden off of the purchasing of the food, so that we can continue to do this and keep food on the tables for our clients and our neighbors.
And are you meeting people who in the past might have not had a problem making that dollar stretch?
Absolutely.
Are starting to see that?
Absolutely. And we have a lot of people. You know, I had a client that came in last Monday. She had just lost her mom and her job within a week and never thought she'd have to utilize us. You know, and I reassured her that's what we're here for. We're here to give you a hand up and anytime she needs help, and I tried to let her know about some of the other programs that we have here. So we are seeing a lot of people that never thought they'd have to utilize a food shelf, and that we never make a judgment call.
Right.
We are here to help anybody in any circumstance that they might be in.
Sometimes people feel kind of a stigma having
right.
to, you know, make that, you know, that trip over to a food shelf
right.
and accept free food. But like you said, there's no judgment.
Absolutely.
And now you're probably seeing people you've never seen before.
Absolutely. Yeah, the past 4 months have been quite a different client base than what we've been seeing. And I just reassure them, you know, that that's what we're here for. It doesn't matter your circumstances, where you come from, what you're doing. And, you know, there's never going to be judgment here.
Yeah.
We all fall down and we need help getting back up. And that's what we're here for.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Where does the food come from that you're able to distribute through the Capstone Food Shelf?
A majority of the food is purchased through the Vermont Food Bank. We have a lot of donors, small farms that donate weekly. We have small businesses that drop things off. And we also have gleaning partners that bring us stuff that might not typically be used that we can get out quickly so that the clients are able to use it and it doesn't go to compost. So it's a collaborative of all different places, you know, around the state that we partner with.
Yeah, gleaning is one of my favorite words. I didn't know it before I moved to
Vermont.
And people would talk about gleaning. What are you talking about? Give people a little idea of what that means, like how food that is sitting there gets to people who could really use it.
Right. So a lot of the Vermont farms, after they've picked their crops, there are a lot of product left behind.
Yeah.
So we have these little groups that go in and they pick up the extra potatoes that are on the ground that are left and the carrots that are left, and it's distributed to food banks and food shelves and homeless centers so that it doesn't go to waste and it's utilized to put food in people's bellies.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice.
Now, I know you started here just as the pandemic started.
I did.
You might know this. You know, how has the amount of people who are facing food insecurity been affected by the pandemic?
It's increased tremendously.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the pandemic, we had a huge rush the first few months, and then some stimulus packages came out, and it seemed to level out. And over the past, like I said, the past 4 months, we've had anywhere from a 12 to 15% increase every month.
Wow.
So it's definitely, we are not at the end of it, but we're here to continue making sure people have what they need, and we'll be here as long as we need to.
I want to mention that stigma that, you know, sometimes people are afraid to come in for that first time. So how do you help people overcome that to make sure that they do receive the food that they and their families absolutely need?
We try not to ask any personal questions. We always listen to what they'd like to give us for information. And, you know, and we do ask, how large is your family? You know, can I give you something extra if you're not sure if you're going to receive food stamps next month? And, again, I just always reassure them that it doesn't matter what they're going through. We're here for them, and that's what we're here for, you know. I want to make everybody feel comfortable that comes in, because there are a lot of people that are, you know, have that stigma that, oh, I don't want to take food out of someone else's mouth, and, you know, or I'm ashamed to be here. There is nothing to be ashamed of to come to a food shelf. And like I said, it doesn't matter if you're making zero money or making $50,000 a year. If you need food, I'm going to feed you.
Yeah. I think you have some new initiatives that the food shelf has started recently. Can you tell us about those?
We have. We have quite a few. We actually expanded.
Saw you light up
with
that question.
We expanded our little hands out. We realized that there was a need over in Orange County. We now do a twice-a-month delivery over to the Orange County Parent-Child Center, which is over in Tunbridge. We deliver food. Fresh meal, fresh vegetables and fruits twice to them a month. We have a delivery service for our elderly homebound that can't get here. We deliver every Thursday. And if anybody wants any information on that, they can call me personally at 461-5463. I'd be glad to see if they fit within the criteria and get some food out to them. And we actually just started an online pilot, so that people are able to choose the items that they would like in their box so that there is no waste. So it's personalized to their family. They would place an order 24 hours ahead of time, give me a time frame of when they're going to be here, and come and pick their box up at the loading dock.
That's beautiful, Tina.
Yeah, it's great. We're trying to do what we can to keep up with the times and make sure everybody's being taken care of.
During a typical week, how many individuals or households do you think you help feed through Capstone?
Right now we're seeing about 120 to 150 a week.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot. And that's in a three-day period.
Yeah.
So.
And that's over three counties. Now, how does the Fuel Your Neighbor campaign help the food shelf's effort to support Central Vermont community members?
It is part of, like I said, purchasing the food that we need to keep stable on the shelves, keep our shelves, you know, stocked and ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that is part of the Fuel Your Neighbors campaign.
Yeah.
It does support the food shelf.
What are the greatest needs you have to feed these individuals that you see each week?
You know, we spoke about this not long ago. Some of the staples that are hard to get are bread and peanut butter and butter, which is odd to me.
Yeah.
But those are some of the things that a lot of our families have children.
Yeah.
And they need those things to get by in between, you know, their services. So those are some of the things that we're having a hard time accessing and being able to keep on the shelf all the time. And also milk. Milk is a big thing, you know, which is, again, odd to me because we have so many dairy farmers here. I thought it would be an easy thing to do, but unfortunately it's not. We don't have milk all the time.
Oh, my.
Yeah, so that's tough.
And how can community members help in the efforts that Capstone has through the food shelf?
So we accept any donations that are within date. We can't accept anything out of date.
Sure.
And, you know, we get donations all the time, and it's fabulous. When someone comes around the corner with a little box of food, it's fabulous. So, you know, that and by supporting the campaigns and that we run, we need the support more so than ever. Because the numbers are just going up.
So you see a lot of boxes of food going out, but it's kind of exciting to see the boxes.
Yes, when you see one coming in, it's great.
Volunteer help? Do you need volunteers?
We do. We just started going back to utilizing volunteers. We've kind of stayed away from it just to try and keep everybody safe in the building. But we just started last week, actually. I had my first volunteer come back in, so that was nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And then where are the food shelves located for Capstone?
So you would drive in the building, drive around the outside of the building. You'll see a loading dock. We have an open sign and a bell there. You just ring the bell. We'll come out and get your box ready. If you haven't been here before, we will ask you to do an application. It takes less than 5 minutes, a very simple application. And we get your stuff ready to go, and off you go.
And that's here in Barrie. Do you
have
others?
That's here in Barrie.
Throughout?
No. Okay. This is, just here.
Excellent. All right. That is Tina Silva, and she is the Capstone Community Action Food Shelf Coordinator. Tina, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Let's take a break for a CBS News update, and then we're going to chat with Chef Joey Buttendorf, who's the senior chef instructor of the Community Kitchen Academy. And tonight on WDEV, the Norwich Cadets play host to the Southern Maine Huskies at 7 o'clock. This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV.
For a stress-free holiday shopping experience, head to the Warren Store in the beautiful Mad River Valley. Specialty coffee drinks, artisan soups and sandwiches to warm your soul and fill your belly. Grab-and-go meals, local beers, international wines. Upstairs, find a curated collection of unique finds from clothing and accessories to toys, games, and puzzles, candles, cards, snow globes, and so much more. Always free gift wrapping and excellent customer service. So enjoy your holiday shopping. Fun, funky, safe, and friendly. Main Street, Warren Village, and warrenstore.com.
All right, we're back on Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV, coming to you live from Capstone Community Action in Barrie. And joining me now is Sue Rossi. She's the Emergency Fuel Program Coordinator at Capstone. Sue, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Sue, let's talk about emergency fuel. First of all, who is eligible for emergency fuel assistance?
Well, we have lots of different tiers, income levels and that. But the bottom line is we see a lot of folks that don't meet the state guidelines. They're over income or there's something else that we can't serve them with. So the guidelines are actually pretty low for working folks or folks that maybe have a pension and do a little other work. So we really treasure those donated dollars to help those folks that just they can't quite make it, but they're not eligible for the state programs.
And so this is where the Fuel Your Neighbors campaign really steps up and fills that gap?
Absolutely. Workers, clients come to us. They're stressed. They don't know what to do. They can't sleep. They're in their homes. They wake up, and you can't get away of not having any heat. You can't escape that. The home isn't the refuge anymore where you regroup. That's all you think about. So when they come to us, and I'm looking at their income, and lo and behold, we have these funds that we can help them with. It's like the ace. It's the extra tool that makes all the difference.
Yeah. FuelYourNeighbors.org is where people can learn more about that program and make a donation. And I've had the heat go out and tried to work. It's near impossible in the dead of winter when it's 2 below 0 in Vermont.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So how does someone apply for the emergency fuel program?
They call us. We do take appointments. But we need to know ahead of time and, you know, safety. We're going through all the protocols for COVID. But phone calls. Call us. we will screen what you're looking for, and someone will call you back within, you know, depending if people are out of fuel, it's that day.
Yeah.
If they've got, you know, please call us when you're about a quarter of a tank. Don't wait till you're out. You don't need to do that.
Yeah. And that number to call is 800-639-1053. You can also find it at capstonevt.org. But again, 800-639-1053.
Mm-hmm.
In a typical winter, and I'm assuming that's when most of this emergency fuel will apply, but I guess this could happen at any time, how many households, you know, does Capstone help through this program?
You know, well, through – I don't know separation between the state program and donated, but we serve anywhere from 12 to 1,500 households maybe.
Wow. That's a lot of households in the central Vermont area.
And we also serve Morrisville area. We serve 56 towns in this area. So Bradford office, our Morrisville office, Barry's our big hub, and Randolph.
Now, we were talking about food prices earlier when I was talking to Tina Silva, but what do we expect for the season ahead regarding the challenges that will be, you know, for the fuel program?
Well, interesting. What we're seeing now is increases.
Yeah.
Different products. Kerosene's up. Oil's up. Propane is very up. I served a household less than 2 weeks ago, $5.85 a gallon.
Oh, my.
It's outrageous. That's not typical, but we do get those prices. So what we're finding now is there's gaps between what we can maybe provide and for a minimum delivery. So those little – that donated money can help fill the last $100 or something.
Yeah.
So that's another way it's valuable.
And, Sue, you know, you mentioned I know in the past your doors were open before the pandemic and people could come right in.
Right.
Now they need to call, and again, I'll give that number so you should have this handy, folks, in case you do face what Sue was talking about or could in the months ahead, 800-639-1053. But by not being able to come in, by having to call, have the numbers dropped off and the number you're helping and seeing?
You know, last year was a unique year. We saw less people than normal. I anticipate this year we're going to have those numbers go up a little more. We can't even use last year because of COVID as a gauge. I feel like we have to just throw that out.
we're hoping 2020 never existed.
Right. So the numbers were down a little last year, but I think we did see more folks that met those donated, those guidelines for income that we could help them with.
Yeah.
They weren't eligible for other things.
Now, as far as, you know, we all have seen gas prices rising. Mm-hmm. We know what we're putting in our tank is costing more. Does that automatically equate to higher heating costs, or are the two kind of separate and distinct?
I don't want to answer that because I don't feel I'm qualified to answer, you know, the gas prices for, you know, cars and that. But it seems like when there's prices, everything's all the heating products.
Right. Across the board, inflation. And then does Capstone get involved, or how does it if a community member runs out of fuel in the dead of winter?
We do. We want people to not wait too long to ask for help. That's why. You're at a quarter of a tank, call us.
Yeah.
Don't wait till you're out. We help people start their systems up again, yes. We treat it as an emergency. So they need to call and give us some information. We try to be pleasant yet thorough and also try to provide them with resources that maybe would help them avoid the situation down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So fix what's immediately at hand, but also give them ideas of different ways to deal with the situations they're in.
And what about utility assistance? You know, that could or could be the same or different from someone's heating bill, right?
Absolutely.
You know, they might have, you know, gas, heat, but have problems with their electric bill, with their telephone and internet bill. Is there a program in place to help that?
There are different programs, not specifically through Capstone, for internet and heat, some back utility bills, water and sewer and things. But we can also use our heating funds for electric disconnects, is, you know, because that powers most people's heat sources.
Right.
So there is help for that as well.
Wow. All right. If Capstone doesn't have these resources, we're talking about the Fuel Your Neighbor campaign. What happens to someone in an emergency fuel situation?
Well, we try to piece together things from other community places, churches. Mm-hmm. People often reach out to family and friends as last resorts. Some people, if they're working, they may go to their employer. You know, it's a really tough place to be in because they feel like they have to tell the world that they're struggling.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of people that are proud. They're scared. They've worked. I had an elderly couple this season. They always get fuel assistance. And, you know, the man's in his mid-70s. He took a part-time job to try to get ahead. Now they can't get fuel assistance. So, you know, what do you tell those folks? And it was so great to be able to help them.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, but they'll check with churches. We try to work with our community members to piggyback. But all that takes time to coordinate, too. And it's great if they can come here and we can help them, and it's done for that day rather than.
Yeah, it has to be gratifying. You know, how thankful are those who get support from Capstone through the Fuel Your Neighbor campaign?
Well, I had a woman this week that I was talking with her, and I said, you know, she works. She has long-term employment. I've been here many, many years, and she comes in occasionally, calls. I mean, I haven't seen her in years. Hit a bump in the road. She's still employed. And I told her I could help her. She was over income. So I said, I can help you with, you know, minimum delivery for your kerosene. Mm-hmm. Two children, teenagers. And the phone went quiet. And I'm like, hello. She was sobbing. Oh. She literally was sobbing. She was like, this has helped me. You know, people can take a breath.
Yeah.
And she can regroup now. So people are really grateful. Most people are thankful, and they're concerned about the staff. You know, how are you doing? It's like, geez, they're very overall caring folks that we see, and they're stuck for at least just a little while, and they need a little step, little help.
I think everybody can relate to that one phrase you just said, being able to take a breath. And if you're in the position to help people take a breath, you can go to fuelyourneighbors.org and make a contribution. Sue Rossi is the Emergency Fuel Program Coordinator at Capstone Community Action. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Well, thank you.
All right. And next we have someone who is training students to learn outstanding cooking and culinary techniques. I can vouch for that because years ago I took some classes from Chef Joey Buttendorf when she had her wonderful restaurant in Stowe. Chef Joey is the senior chef instructor of the Community Kitchen Academy, and she joins us now. Welcome back
to
Rick. Vermont Viewpoint. Great
How's
to have
going?
You on here again.
Yeah.
I'm in your home now.
Yes,
today.
You are. Welcome to Capstone.
Oh, I love it.
We're all so excited to have you guys here today.
It is great to be here. Listeners, if you'd like to chat with Chef Joey, you can call us at 802-244-1777 or 877-291-8255. Now, you run something called the Community Kitchen Academy.
Yeah.
What is this?
Well, it's a wonderful program that's in partnership with the Vermont Food Bank. There's two of them in the state. There's one in Burlington at Feeding Chittenden as well. And New England Culinary Institute, as you know, is a huge part of my background, had much to do with the development of this program. So those of us who were instructors there were very aware of this beautiful community program. We take students in who may need to focus on workforce eligibility skills and interpersonal skills and time management skills and all kinds of things, and may have an interest in the industry or cooking or baking or hospitality in general. And we help train them to get back out into the community and working and get jobs.
Mm. So, how often is it held and where?
So we have it right here at Gable Place, and there is one also at Feeding Chittenden. And it's held 5 times a year now because we made adjustments with COVID.
Wow.
And we do 7
six person classes. So it's a really small class size. It's a very personal education. And it's five times a year, and they get a certificate in Serve Safe certification and a Level 1 Vermont Department of Liquor Control certificate if they decided to get a job, you know, in convenience or bartending or something like that, or as a server.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other outside resources that are available to them as well through VSAC and other community organizations. The Vermont Department of Labor is huge. Reach Up, those organizations, they all work really closely with my students. So.
All right. And you said you offer this five times a year. So mm-hmm. how long does each term last? What mm-hmm. kind of time commitment
sure.
is involved?
Great. It's a seven-week commitment. That's it.
All
so
right.
in seven
That's
weeks, Rick, we're teaching them all the basics.
I almost have the attention span
yeah,
for that.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, it used to be a 13-week program before COVID, pre-COVID.
Oh, right.
And it was three times a year, like a NECI certificate, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So you come in and we teach you the rules of the kitchen, the equipment of the kitchen, and how to start with your knife skills and how to butcher a chicken right off the bat.
Wow.
And, you know, then you're making soup with that chicken and stock with that chicken. And,
yeah.
you know, we kind of roll everything together in a progressive education. So by the time they're done, they can get a job just about anywhere in the industry. But also, students might say, I want to go to continue my education and go on to college or take other certifications, which has happened, and work in a totally different field, which has happened. You
yeah.
get the skills you need to go work. No matter what it is you want to do.
I know you're very proud of all your students, but I will tell you that for Thanksgiving, I roasted a chicken,
mm-hmm.
and I learned soup making from Chef Joey.
Aww.
I'll be using that to uh-huh. make soup this weekend.
Uh-huh. Great.
Yeah, and
it's awesome.
Still use the skills that you
mm-hmm.
trained. It's probably been 18 years.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I still
yeah.
do a mirepoix, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that's awesome, and mise en place and all
yeah,
that
right,
good
right.
stuff. Right.
Yeah.
We made a turkey and kale and vegetable soup that we passed out to the food shelf. The food that we create at Community Kitchen Academy, all of it has a home, similar to what NECI did with its operating restaurants, right?
Right.
But here we're actually feeding people in need, so it gives the students a huge purpose. It kind of melds with the mission of the food bank and Capstone. And it's a terrific partnership with the food shelf and Tina that you just had on.
Yep.
You know, we make meals for her to pass out and put in boxes and bags to people that really need the meals.
Oh, how fantastic.
Yeah, it's been really, really cool experience since I've been here. It's been a couple of years now. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do all of your students head to positions in the culinary industry after they finish with your program?
Yeah, some do. Some go to college. Some go – I've had students that are, like, working as administrative assistants in dental offices, you know.
Oh, interesting.
They might change after. They might go out for a few months. I actually had a student that was related to Stefano, who's a NECI grad who owns Morse Black Deli, but his brother left there and is actually working at Honey Road in Burlington now. So they really use it progressively. One of my students, Angel, just got a job yesterday, and Sue, you're going to love this. He's actually working for Feast with Sarah Lipton, and he was part of us providing meals for the elderly for the last couple months because they needed assistance. So we stepped up, made nutritional meals, did a lot of different things for the Montpelier Senior Center. And Angel was part of that, and I brought him over there yesterday, and the new chef there wants to hire him on as an intern, and it's really going to work out great. So
wow.
It's wonderful. And another one of my CKA grads came on as my teaching assistant, and I can't tell you what a wonderful man he is. So he's, you know, it could be anything happening to them. It could be trauma. It could be domestic violence. It could be just that they've been home through COVID and they want to learn how to cook like
yeah.
Paul, or they had a medical condition that changed their life.
Mm.
That happens too.
Yep.
You know, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer. I want to be able to change my life now. I had a heart attack. I want to be able to change my life now. It can be men who have been incarcerated for years and need yeah. to get back out, or females. So it's really a mixed demographic. You know,
yeah.
there's five people in my kitchen right now. They're all different, you know, and it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
So. Oh, my gosh. Well, I can attest that the skills that they are mm-hmm. learning, they're going to have
mm-hmm.
for the rest of their lives.
Exactly.
But it sounds like, too, they get a certain amount of life skills, a certain amount of confidence.
Exactly. That's a huge piece of it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when your life changes abruptly or you have some sort of trauma, we've all been through trauma in the last 2 years, Rick.
Yeah.
It's so nice to see you.
Know.
You know, it's like the COVID thing has really struck everybody really hard. And as Sue was saying earlier, you know, we want to help people, and that's what we want to do. And part of that is building resilience, building coping skills, helping them along with that, and building confidence as well.
Who do you think would benefit from being enrolled in your program, the Community Kitchen Academy?
Well, those who are eligible absolutely can be 18 or older. It can be anybody, okay. Really. I've had a very – Sue can attest also, and a lot of people at Capstone, that the last three graduations were very mixed bag, you know. Mm-hmm. So anybody 18 or older who has time on their hands and 7 weeks maybe in between a job, or they're about to start a job in the industry and they're not sure about some of their skills, they want to strengthen them, or they just need to get out and come. So just give us a call here at Capstone, or find me, or find anybody who works at Capstone, and they can give you information. You can visit the websites. You can visit VermontFoodBank.org and Capstone Community Action, you know, as well.
Yeah. So the phone number, I'll give that again, 800-639-1053. The website, CapstoneVT.org. I know in the past you worried about how people might be afraid to get involved because of certain barriers, maybe like lack of transportation.
Sure.
So what do you say to these individuals if they have the interest but
sure.
see barriers in the way?
Yeah, it's wild. There's a really good example. I'm going to say hi to my students in the kitchen right now. Georgia Moody, hello, because I know they're listening. Georgia broke her foot the day before class started. I have to say that a lot of CKA success with students is about their motivation as well.
Yeah.
Georgia broke her foot. She was bound and determined to come to class. She found public transportation. She's getting here. You know, everybody – and as soon as you're in class, there's this camaraderie that's built. So it transforms people's lives through the camaraderie, through the I've got your back, through the teamwork, through the we're all a family. Some of these people haven't felt family in a really long time. Mm-hmm. And you know, in kitchens, Rick, they spend a lot of time together. So yeah. we're going to work together to make you successful, no matter what your barriers are. So don't be afraid to come to Capstone or come to me and talk about that.
When does the next class begin?
We have one in mid-January that's happening. So okay. We will take a break for Christmas, of course, and then around the 17th of January start another session. So this one's in session now. This is the first one, which is great, of a new year for us, and it'll end on December 17th is the graduation. I'll send you a Zoom link so you can join
our graduation.
Okay? I would love that.
All right. What are they working at in the kitchen right now? What are they working on?
So we have some egg roll prep happening, because what happens in my kitchen, too, another thing is I never really kind of know. I know what's in there, but, you know, I walk in and there'll be like 75 cases of bananas sitting on the shelf. Actually, Sue, you're going to crack up. My first day of Capstone Kitchen was Hubbard squashes, like 100 of them on the table. You know? But so I come in. They're doing egg rolls. They're actually prepping some greens that we got cleaned from Community Harvest. And we're making pies today, so banana cream, chocolate cream.
Oh, fantastic.
And coconut cream, yeah.
Chef Joey Buttendorf, senior chef instructor of the Community Kitchen Academy. Chef Joey, it is always great being able to learn about the Kitchen Academy from you.
Thank you. Yeah, give us a call at Capstone for any of your needs, really. It's time to, you know, for us to give, if we can, back to you guys and help everybody have a good quality of life.
All right. Let's take a break and then come back. We're going to speak with who's next. I think we've got Dawn Butterfield is next with us. This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV.
For a stress-free holiday shopping experience, head to the Warren Store in the beautiful Mad River Valley. Specialty coffee drinks, artisan soups and sandwiches to warm your soul and fill your belly. Grab-and-go meals, local beers, international wines. Upstairs, find a curated collection of unique finds, from clothing and accessories to toys, games, and puzzles, candles, cards, snow globes, and so much more. Always free gift wrapping and excellent customer service. So enjoy your holiday shopping. Fun, funky, safe, and friendly. Main Street, Warren Village, and warrenstore.com.
We're back on Vermont Viewpoint. I'm Rick Sengary, and we're spending the morning coming to you live from Barrie and the offices of Capstone Community Action. We've been hearing about the many different programs that Capstone offers to residents of Central Vermont. So far, we've discussed the Food Shelf, the Community Kitchen Academy, the Emergency Fuel Program. Joining me next is Dawn Butterfield, who's the Director of Family and Community Support Services at Capstone. Dawn, great to have you on the show.
Well, thanks. It's nice to be here, Rick.
All right. Now, listeners, if you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 802-244-1777 or 877-291. 8255. Dawn, I'm guessing from your title that your office takes care of a pretty wide range of services. So give us an idea of what they are.
Well, I like to describe it as we are sort of the basis of the pyramid. Capstone has all sorts of wonderful programs to help people get out of poverty, but my department helps stabilize individuals and families first so that they can take care of basic needs, and then they can focus on those other things that will help them keep moving forward and growing and thriving. So in my department, we work with folks who are having challenges with housing. You already spoke with Sue, who handles the fuel department and helping people get fuel or help them get started fixing a furnace. We also do other outreach things, everything from food and nutrition types of activities to helping people apply for other programs. Some of our systems are really tough to navigate when you're a person who's in crisis and having a lot of challenges. Sometimes all we do is just basically we help people apply for things that might help their lives be easier. So pretty wide variety of helping people get stabilized.
Yeah, I can understand what you're saying. You don't want people to get frustrated and give up on a service that they absolutely could use. So how great that you navigate that for them. Mm-hmm. How has the pandemic affected the need for housing, for instance, for those that Capstone works with?
Well, I think one of the interesting things is that those of us who are sort of working on the ground have known that homelessness, for example, is a big problem. But we're pretty good in Vermont at hiding our people who are in crisis. And the pandemic really brought folks into a place where we could see the scope of the problem.
Yeah.
And it was a great idea to put people in a safe place in the hotels to make sure we really had a low amount of COVID spread. But wow, it really became evident how many people there are who are living without a permanent housing situation.
What a great example. There are some silver linings, right, from what has happened during this pandemic, and that is one that we did find a way to help those who were having problems finding shelter. With a red-hot real estate market, rising housing prices, lack of affordable housing, are you able to house all those that need that help in central Vermont?
No. Sadly, that's one of the main problems is that we have a very low housing stock in central Vermont. It's like, for rental properties, it's probably hovers around 1% vacancy rate, maybe between 1 and 2. And affordable housing is even harder, which means that a person with sort of an average income, it's really difficult for them to find a place that they can afford.
Right.
So that has been a real challenge. With that said, we've managed to help quite a few people find housing, but still it's a struggle, and there are lots of people who are still left without a place that's permanent. So.
Yeah. Now, Dawn, I know you also provide housing counseling services. So what are they?
Well, those are all the things that sort of go along with finding permanent housing. Those are things like, we can help people look for housing, but we also offer things like information on tenant rights and responsibilities. We also offer sort of counseling or guidance on how to be a tenant, how to get along with your neighbors, how to talk to your landlord if things are not going well and let them know so that you can make a plan. Things like that, little tips and tricks. And then we also offer longer-term services that when people find housing, we can help them then sort of address some of these other things, sort of stay with them and keep walking with them to make sure that, maybe they need childcare. We'll make sure that they find a way to hook up with childcare or job seeking services or education or what any of those other things in our lives that can be difficult to get a finger on the pulse of and solve and then keep moving forward.
Yeah. So how do you get involved in providing like tenants' rights assistance with someone? Mm-hmm. What would you do in that regard?
Well, we have a variety of things, whether it's either one-on-one answering questions or we can provide information or hook people up with classes that have to do. We have a couple of opportunities where we can, if people are interested, they can take a whole little mini class that helps them sort of demonstrate to a landlord that they've been serious about becoming a good tenant. And like I said, and then we can even do just one-on-one if people have questions. They could just call and ask, is this legal? Am I allowed to do this? Should I do that? Mm-hmm. We hook people up with legal aid if that's necessary. But sometimes we just help them do the navigation and the communication with the landlord, sort of broker a conversation. And oftentimes we can solve problems just by doing something that simple before anything legal has to be involved.
Yeah. Now, how does Capstone work with those who have left a correctional facility mm-hmm. and need assistance in returning to the community?
How do we do that? Well, we sort of meet everybody where they are when they come through the door.
It's funny because you're thinking, we just do.
We just do.
It's like, how do we do it? Let me think about that. Sorry, Don, but it seems
it's
so
true.
Like it's second nature, right?
It's just one more barrier we have to address.
Yeah.
You know? And I always, I'm supervisor or manager now, so I don't necessarily work with clients one-on-one myself or participants. But what I advise is that we meet everybody where they are.
Yeah.
And we don't have any judgment. But if you have a criminal record, that's a barrier, and we're going to have to address it. And we advise people on how to be upfront and talk about those things with a prospective landlord. And, you know, sometimes people can do some work to expunge a record or make corrections. I have a great story of when I was doing this work with a young man who had actually done some prison time for a pretty serious assault, a fight he was involved in, and actually did some jail time for that. But it had been a long, long time, and he was denied housing, and I advised him to make an appeal. And we sat before this housing board, and he told his story, and he told about what he had learned over the years and what changes he had made, and his appeal was overturned, and he was able to get housing.
Wow.
And I just sort of sat there and supported him.
Well, yeah, I got that feeling of sometimes you just need to lean a little bit,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And you were there to kind of prop him yeah. up and make sure that he can get through that process.
Yeah,
so.
That was a nice result.
Yeah. So, again, I know, you know, you're involved in a lot of different things as Director of Family and Community Support Services. How do you work with families on food nutrition issues, for instance?
Well, it's something as simple as helping people apply for Three Squares Vermont mm. is a great way to do that. I mean, it's a wonderful benefit that can really help stretch a budget. I'm always surprised by how many people are eligible for that service that don't take advantage of it. So we urge people all the time, give us a call, see if we can help. But that's a big one. Certainly the food shelf is the biggest help
yeah.
In that particular case, because then people can get something to eat immediately. And that program has really gone out of its way to make sure that there's food available, whether you can get to it or not. You know, we can find ways to bring it to you. We also run in the summertime what's called farm-to-family coupons, mm. which are $30 worth of fresh fruits and vegetables from local farmers markets that people can come and sign up for, and it's great. Gets them out of the house and into the local local farmers market, and with a little bit of cash to spend. So
yeah,
that's a nice way.
Oh, getting that nutritional fresh mm-hmm. you know, fruit and veg, there's nothing better.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. You've given us a few examples, but what outcomes really make you proud to be working with Capstone Community Action?
Oh, my goodness. You know, some of them are intangible. And I can say, well, we housed 40 families and 52 individuals or whatever in our service.
Right.
But one of the things that makes me feel most proud is the way, as I mentioned, the way we work with people where they are,
yeah.
Without judgment as much as possible, and just really see ourselves as partners in helping our neighbors to move forward and have the best lives they can possibly have.
Yeah. Well, you used the word neighbors. Fuel Your Neighbors is the campaign we've been talking about all morning as we broadcast live here from Capstone Community Action. Listeners, you can go to fuelyourneighbors.org, learn more about it, make a contribution. Dawn Butterfield is the Director of Family and Community Support Services at Capstone. Dawn, thank you so much for your time.
You're very welcome. Thanks for coming here to visit us.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Now we'll turn our attention to weatherization and something called Mileage Smart. We're joined now by Paul Zabriskie. He's the Director of Weatherization and Climate Impact. Paul, thanks for being on with us.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. And also we have here Sam Hurt. And Sam's going to tell us all about Mileage Smart. Sam, great to have you here as well.
Thank you.
All right. Listeners, if you've got questions about these programs, you can call us at 802-244-1777 or 877-291-8255. Paul, we're going to start with you. What exactly is weatherization?
Weatherization is a catch-all that basically talks to the improvements we make in homes to make them leak heat less, to stay warmer, to be more comfortable, to use less fuel, save homeowners money, make the air quality better, and to support dollars on Main Street by keeping fuel dollars. Instead of spending money on fossil fuels, we can actually use those incomes to work to keep our community healthy.
How many households will Capstone work with in a given year to help in this process?
Oh, roughly 300 households we'll be in touch with in some form to help them with energy improvements.
Wow. I still, you know, when we think of the numbers that we've been hearing this morning, I have to remember that that's just over three counties. It's not the entire state. 300 is a really big number over the course of a year that you are working with to help solve this problem.
Yeah, it's a home improvement project for, you know, we'll be in touch with 300. We'll probably do 250 construction jobs that average about $10,000 each.
Wow. Now, I always think of this as being done by September or October. Now we're in December, too late in the season. But can people still work on weatherization as we're heading into these winter months?
Well, people are always trying to make improvements. Our season, the phones really ring at this time of year. First frost, that's when people are thinking about heating their homes.
Yeah.
But we work year-round. We're in homes through the winter, air sealing, insulating, making improvements in ventilation.
Great. All right. Now, Sam Hurt, you're a program manager of something called Mileage Smart. What is Mileage Smart? I understand weatherization more than I understand Mileage Smart right off the bat. So.
Sure. So Mileage Smart is a program that offers a 25% incentive up to $5,000 for low to moderate income Vermonters on purchasing a high efficiency vehicle.
And when we say high efficiency vehicle, what does that take into consideration? What's a high efficiency vehicle?
Yep. So it's any electric vehicle, plug-in hybrid, and most hybrids. As long as the vehicle has 40 combined MPG, it would be eligible.
Mm-hmm. Wow, 40 miles per gallon. Now, when did Capstone start this Mileage Smart program?
So we really got up and running last October. We just finished our first operational year.
And how did it go? What kind of response did you get?
It's been going really well. We have just about 1,000 people total who have expressed interest in the program. And as of yesterday, we have delivered 176 incentives.
Oh, that's really great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 176 high what do you call high-performance vehicles? No.
High efficiency.
High efficiency. High-performance vehicle, I think, is something that runs at Thunder Road. sorry, I had Dave Moody on yesterday from the Motor Racing Network, and so I'm still in that mode sometimes. So, well, that's a really great year that you've had. Did you have a goal going into it of how many you hoped it would you'd be able to help?
You know, when you're working on a pilot program,
yeah,
you can set goals, and you don't really know the trajectory. I think our goal was to just help as many as possible.
Yeah.
And where we're at now is more than I had initially expected. And it's just been incredible to see the number of folks we can help who are struggling. They don't have enough access to transportation, and we make that, we bridge that gap for them.
Is there a limit that, of how many you can help in the course of a year? Did you have, you know, we can't go over this amount because of resources, or is it pretty much open-ended right now?
Right now it's pretty open-ended. We have a large pot of money that we still have that money available, so people can apply, and, you know, the money isn't going to run out anytime soon.
All right, so the two of you are saving the planet at what you're doing here. I got the weatherization person and the mileage smart person. So cutting down on fossil fuels in cars, cutting down on the fossil fuels we use to heat our homes, correct, Paul?
Yeah, and it's actually trying to push a little farther than that, Rick. It's both saving the energy that we use and reducing our need for energy, but it's also looking to decarbonize, to get fossil fuels out of our lives and allow us the energy we need to keep moving forward. And you know, I think all Vermonters recognize the value of just having to buy less gasoline or buy less heating oil. It's a little harder for many of the people we work with to really focus on the long term, to focus on the climate condition.
Right.
And so we're trying to help people not only reduce the amount of fuel they have to buy, but also get into cheaper, cleaner fuels that set them up for the future and their children's future.
Mm. Now, Paul, we've heard so much about the shortage of building materials and their soaring costs. So has that put a stop to what you've been able to do for people?
No, it's made pieces of it more expensive.
Yeah.
But, you know, the service we provide is really starts with diagnostics. We test buildings. So before we start work, we know what we're after. We know the result we're looking for. And the material component of it, they're fairly specialized. We buy in large volumes directly from manufacturers sometimes. So we're somewhat insulated from the volatility that some of the building supply systems have confronted.
Mm-hmm. All right. So when you work with someone on this, how much can they benefit from this weatherization?
So a typical or average job for us is a 40% reduction in air leakage in the building. And that's kind of technical jargon, but we test at the front end with what's called a blower door. We use a calibrated fan to get a data point. And then when we do our work, we come back and we test at the end. So we're actually able to quantify the impact we have. And one of the challenges with weatherization is most of the work is invisible to the household, right? We're working in attics. We're working in crawl spaces. We're working doing things that don't produce sort of tangible evidence within the living space of the house.
Right.
An average job would be roughly a 25% reduction in their fuel purchases. So that's on average. Some homes, you know, if we're in a home that's 15 years old, it probably started in better condition. If we're in a home that's 200 years old, we can make major, major improvements. Not uncommon to encounter a household in an old farmhouse building burning 10 or 12 cords of wood, and we're able to cut that in half or more.
Mm. Wow. So 40% leakage is what you tend to button up, and then that results in 25% fuel cost reduction.
On average, yes.
Wow, that's fantastic. And you mentioned how you assess a home. Do you do apartments, condominiums, things like that?
Yeah, we have a division called 3E Thermal, which basically provides engineering services to landlords. So our multifamily group, they work statewide. So we provide services in all counties, both with sort of the professional housers, the housing authorities, and the really professional organizations that do housing, as well as just mom-and-pop landlords, who most of the properties in Vermont are actually a house here, a house there that's been turned into a duplex or a quad.
Yep.
And
I've lived in all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul. So, Sam Hurt, you're in charge of Mileage Smart. Tell people again what Mileage Smart is all about.
Yep. Mileage Smart offers an incentive for low to moderate income Vermonters to get into a used high efficiency vehicle.
All right. And who qualifies? You say low to moderate. So mm-hmm. who qualifies for this program? Who can call up? And would they call here at Capstone, 800-639-1053, to get started?
So they can call that number, or they can call our direct line, which is 802-249-3043.
Okay.
And in order to income qualify, one would have to be at or below 80% state median income. And that's kind of a hard number to really grasp.
Right.
So to put that in perspective, that would be a family of four making $67,000 or a family of five making $70,000.
Okay. So sometimes people don't know, you know, what those numbers are. They can call and find out. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, the larger the family, the higher that income can be. So maybe you do qualify. And, boy.
They can find us also on the web.
Oh, that's right.
MileageSmart.org or MileageSmart.com. If you Google MileageSmart, you'll
right.
find us.
Yes.
They're also at CapstoneVT.org. So much out there. And. Yeah, just search and you will find it. Let's take a break for CBS News, and then we will return. We're going to spend more time with Paul and Sam of Capstone. Want to let you know, folks, that coming up this morning, this afternoon at 1 o'clock, it's Healthcare Today. That's with Dr. Lewis Myers, and that's followed by The Getaway. We've got Greg Hooker for 2 hours of great music. This is Vermont Viewpoint on WDEV.
For a stress-free holiday shopping experience, head to the Warren Store in the beautiful Mad River Valley. Specialty coffee drinks, artisan soups and sandwiches to warm your soul and fill your belly. Grab-and-go meals, local beers, international wines. Upstairs, find a curated collection of unique finds from clothing and accessories to toys, games, and puzzles, candles, cards, snow globes, and so much more. Always free gift wrapping and excellent customer service. So enjoy your holiday shopping. Fun, funky, safe, and friendly. Main Street, Warren Village, and warrenstore.com.
We're back on Vermont Viewpoint. We're discussing weatherization and climate impact with Paul Zabriskie. We're talking about Mileage Smart program with Sam Hurt of Capstone Community Action. And we are broadcasting live this morning from Capstone in Barrie. Sam Hurt, so the process of someone getting approved for Mileage Smart, you know, what do they have to go through? How long does it take?
Sure. So I guess to put it in broader perspective, mm-hmm. let's say, you know, someone, their car breaks down. They have to get to work the next day. They can't put more money into this car.
Right.
They can apply that morning, comes into my system, they get approved, they get next steps, just go to the dealership, find an eligible vehicle. They can have the incentive approved that day and drive off with that car.
What is an eligible vehicle for this program?
So a great example is, let's say, 2017 Chevrolet Volt plug-in hybrid. That's one of the more affordable plug-in hybrids. People also really like the Chevy Bolt, which is their all-electric. And the most common vehicle is the Toyota Prius.
Sure.
That has the widest model year range. You can find a 2001 to a 2021, and all of them are eligible for the incentive.
Hearing that that somebody's car could break down today, you could have them driving off the. I mean, I'm almost weeping openly. They must just feel like you are an angel, getting the, you know, this turned around, getting them in to one of these vehicles that they could really use and cut down on mm-hmm. the amount that they'd be spending on fuel.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's also a great point. A lot of folks, I want to say that the average MPG for vehicles people have traded in through this program is 27. So it's
okay.
27 miles per gallon. We are cutting people's fuel cost in half.
Wow.
And, you know, for people who are living month to month, people who really have to watch when their paycheck comes in and what they can afford, for them to see that big of a deduction on what they're having to spend to go to work, to take their kids to school, it's just incredible.
And are you finding that there's enough? I know this is a big issue right now is car inventory. Is there enough car inventory to meet the needs that you have for these high-efficiency vehicles?
So we have been hearing that it's become harder to find vehicles. And, you know, the most common model years that we're seeing are 2017 and up. So because inventory is less, car prices are coming up a little bit. We're hoping to see more vehicles in the $10,000, $15,000 range. So we're talking, you know, a 2015 Prius, something like that.
All right. Now, Paul Zabriskie. Oh, go ahead, Paul.
I'd just add that so the application process sort of looks like shopping online, right? Mm-hmm. You get on the website.
We all know how to do that.
Go through that process. You can also sign up, and STEM produces an inventory of all the vehicles in Vermont that would meet this criteria on Thursdays. So folks, if you sign up, you get an email on Thursday that will tell you what you can find out there in terms of, you know, where to go shopping to find a car that would qualify in Vermont at one of the local dealerships.
Ah, that's fantastic. All right, Paul, we got a few more minutes. I want to talk a little bit more about the weatherization program that you're involved with. How big or how small are the weatherization projects that you get involved with here at Capstone?
So it really depends on the building. A big old farmhouse can really require hundreds of hours of work. 10,000 dollar job is not a surprise to me for a really large house. Some smaller houses that are in better condition may be a $3,000 or $4,000 project and 70 or 80 hours of site time. So we try and put our crews together in large numbers. This is an invasive process, right? We're in every nook and cranny of a building. And wow. So we try and move really quickly. An average job would take 2 days, three days. So we try and be in and out, clean up after ourselves, and contain the mess to make it as, you know, painless as possible for a household.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And you did a great job explaining the process for Mileage Smart. What's the process for the weatherization program?
It's a little harder, to be honest. The application is a little longer. We're going to be asking what's your utility bill or your account. So we're really focused on how much energy is the building using in the past, because we're going to build a computer model of the building. And the accuracy of our computer model is verified by how much fuel you're using. So it's a little longer process. We mail out the applications, take them back in. The average weatherization job is probably in our system for 6 weeks to 6 months. So it's not overnight, where Mileage Smart can help you tomorrow.
Right.
Weatherization is not an emergency service. It's a construction job. It's a home improvement, and there's a little bit more to it.
All right. That's Paul Zabriskie, the Director of Weatherization and Climate Impact. Sam Hurt is Program Manager at Capstone. Great speaking with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank you for having us.
Joining me now is Liz Scharf. She's the Director of Community Economic Development. Liz, welcome back to Vermont Viewpoint.
Well, thanks for having me, Rick. It's to see you in
person.
Oh,
it is so great to see you. We're going to discuss financial literacy, money coaching, and, of course, the Fuel Your Neighbors program, which we've talked about throughout the morning, but I think we'll spend a little bit more time on that before the end of the show. Now, let's start with an overview of the economic development services that Capstone has available.
Sure. So we have a number of programs that help people build financial self-sufficiency. So one of them is our financial coaching and counseling program, where we offer one-on-one financial coaching or counseling to help folks learn how to better save money, budget their money, build credit so they can get a loan, for a home or a car. I'll often work with folks who are navigating the complexities of their student loans, which is a big thing that's going on.
Ouch.
And, maybe helping them get onto a different payment plan or get out of default if they're not making payments on their loan. But basically, the goal of this program is to support Central Vermonters on their journey to financial self-sufficiency and to improve their financial well-being and relationship to money. We also offer some money conversations classes, they're called, where folks can get on a Zoom with one of our coaches, Rosie or Mary, and learn about a financial topic, ask some questions, and perhaps set up a one-on-one if they want to delve deeper into their own personal finances.
People get really squirrely about talking about money and their own finances.
Yes, they
so
do.
I would imagine this kind of helps break that down and get them to be a little bit more comfortable and more confident about talking about their own finances.
That's exactly what this program is designed to do. It's really to break down those barriers of fear that people often have around dealing with things like, low credit scores, or the inability to get a loan because they don't have enough money saved for a down payment. And a lot of that comes with a little bit of shame. And I think what's great about our coaches is that they can really meet people where they're at, and help them, discover what's possible for them. And it's very much an individualized experience for each person. And it's a great opportunity for folks to really sit down with a coach, look at the, a bird's eye view of their finances and get some professional, assessments on where they can take their next steps to improve their financial self-sufficiency.
Yeah. Now, when we went to the commercial break and there was a change of personnel in here and Paul and Sam were walking out and you came in, there was this burst of energy, it's a good word, because of a new program that you are so excited to tell us all about. So please tell us about energy coaching.
So great. So I just told you about financial coaching,
yes,
which we're really good at. And we are going to, in the beginning of the new year in 2022, roll out a new program called the Financial and Energy Coaching Initiative. So really, this is a three-year state-funded program initiative that's going to hire financial coaches around the state at each one of the community action agencies to help low- and moderate-income Vermonters manage their personal finances and at the same time learn about and engage with programs and services that encourage them to reduce their reliance on fossil fuel technologies for their home heating, utilities, and transportation, which are the biggest, burdens for carbon output. So we're currently in the planning stage and hiring stage, and our goal is to have the coaches out there working with folks early in the year in January in 2022. So imagine sitting down with someone and really taking a deep dive at what your costs are for your home heating. Are there ways to reduce that? Is this a referral for energy, for weatherization? If the coach sees that they're spending a higher proportion of their budget on home heating, cars, right? You just learned about Mileage Smart. This would be an opportunity for us to sit down with someone and say, look, your expenses for your transportation are super high, and this is why. Here's an opportunity for you to save money and reduce your reliance on gasoline.
That is, quite frankly, a brilliant idea.
We're really excited about it.
I can't wait. I don't know who came up with it, but it's so smart.
I want to be counseled on it.
The first student. Well, who can? Who can take advantage of this, of the money coaching? Who are these services available to?
So that's a really good question. So for our general financial coaching, I never turn anyone down, because anyone who comes to me that needs some help on their personal finance, there's a reason why yeah. they're coming. In general, our services for the financial and energy coaching will be limited to Vermonters whose family median income is 80% of the state family median income based on their family size or lower. We are actually increasing that to 120%, so higher than the median income, for members of the BIPOC community as well as new Americans and single parent head of households. So I think that there's going to be tens of thousands of people who are eligible for working with a financial and energy coach.
Oh, that is so great.
Yeah,
now,
excited.
The other thing that comes up right after the first of the year is tax season.
That's right.
And I know this is something you love to help people with, a program I think you call VITA.
Yes, VITA, Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. So right now we're in the stage of training the volunteers who come and help us prepare and file the taxes. There is an income qualification of $57,000 or less per year, and then you're eligible to have your taxes filed for free. We have been working super hard with families who have been accessing the Advanced Child Tax Credit, which has been super helpful for low and moderate income families who often in the past have not had access to that tax credit, and they're now able to have extra money in their pockets, and they'll get it the second half of the tax credit when they file their taxes in February or the spring.
Okay. Now, I know you can't provide specific financial advice for people on a radio show like this, but are there some key points that you like to make people aware of, especially when they're trying, you know, they're going through a real tough financial patch, especially what we've been going through during the pandemic?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I really, you know, saving money, this is actually, the pandemic has actually increased people's savings. And I think, one, because they were getting extra money that they were actually able to save. So for the first time, people have been able to save. And I think saving sort of has an addictive quality. Like once you start doing it, you're like, wow, this is really working. And
it's
heady. Right. And so, you know, even saving $500, if that's the most that you can save, that goes a long way to protecting you in the event that you have a car breakdown, or you're suddenly your tires, you need to get new tires, or your washing machine breaks down. So I always try to tell people that if they can save $500, they're going to be that much better off. And, you know, the other thing that I'm a big proponent of, too, is if you have the opportunity to save for retirement, please do, because Social Security is just not going to be enough for folks when it comes time to retire. So take advantage of those employer matches if you have them, or you could even set up your own retirement account if you don't have access to one with your employer. And that's something that our coaches can help people out with as well.
You know, you mentioned the savings account. So I moved to Vermont 18 years ago. I came, I opened an account, a checking account, got to say, you know. And they made me, this bank made me open a savings account that took every month $25 out. And this has been happening for 18 years. Now, I have dipped into it, but it was a long time before I even looked like, oh, wait, I have a savings account. And I didn't even move money over there. It just moved itself. And
when people say to me, oh, I saved $500, but I had to dip into it to, you know, pay for a car repair, I said, that's great. You had that money and you were able to use it. Now build it back up.
Yeah. Oh, bingo. Now, you got another program, Micro Business Development Program. What's that all about?
So Micro Business Development is a business counseling program that we offer, again, to folks who are in the income qualification of 80% family median income or lower. Micro business is anyone who employs five or fewer employees, including the business owner. Most people we work with are sole proprietors. And we offer business counseling, cash flow analysis, budgeting, credit building, tax advice for businesses. And we will also do, in our VITA tax program, we will do taxes for small businesses that have a very basic Schedule C. And right now, we just launched round three of a grant program called Embrace, where we have another $2 million. This is a statewide program that the legislature has given us another $2 million to provide grants of $5,000 to micro businesses over the next year. So if you're a micro business out there and you haven't accessed this grant yet, even if you have accessed the grant, you will be able to access it again in the future. But that's at www.mbdp.org, Micro Business Development Program.org.
MBDP.
And the application for the grant is there.
All right. You know, if anyone's been listening the entire 2 hours, they have got to be thinking, oh, my gosh, like we have talked about just about
everything.
Kind of service. That's all under this roof here at Capstone, and so it really is incredible. Again, you can go to capstonevt.org and see, you know, you're thinking, I really could use help with this or that, or, you know, even need to feed my family. These are all there. You can find out the, you know, breadth of programs. And the reason we came to Capstone today really is because you just launched this annual campaign, which is really important, called Fuel Your Neighbors. And I think it's important that we finish by talking again about what the program is.
Yeah, so Fuel Your Neighbors is a terrific program that our goal is to raise $300,000, which we will, thanks to all of you listeners out there. And this is to support our emergency fuel assistance program and our food assistance program, so really helping people get food and fuel on their table when they need it. And there are a lot of folks out there who are low income, and the heating prices rise. The food prices rise. If you have been to the grocery store, you will see that your grocery budget has gone up, or your costs have gone up. And yet, for many low-income families, especially those who live on fixed incomes like Social Security, sort of our the older Vermont community, their income doesn't change, and they really do need this assistance. And it is vital that we have this money to help support these families. And I will say, this is what I always say when I'm talking about financial counseling as well, in your budget, put money aside for annual giving, and better yet, turn it into a monthly giving, because when you do it monthly, it's that much easier out of your pocketbook. I can't tell you what a difference it made for me to have my donations taken out once a month instead of at the end of the year when everyone's saying, oh, you know, give us this much money. I end up giving more because right. I give it out on a monthly basis. And it's great for your budget because you know exactly how much is going to be coming out. I personally have set a $2,000 goal for Fuel Your Neighbors. So I've just sent an email out last night to my friends and neighbors saying, please go to this link and donate to my cause. I've had a couple people say, I already donated on the main page. But so I want you to know I couldn't give it to you, but I gave it already. And I had my cousin call and say, Liz, I'm having it sent a check directly to the agency in your name, so make sure it gets to the Fuel Your Neighbors. So it's an exciting time, and I think this is such a great opportunity for us to let the Central Vermont community know that this is a perfect place for them to give at this time of year.
And the ability to set up that monthly payment program, is that available at fuelyourneighbors.org? Do we know that?
Yes, it is.
Yes is from
yes,
around,
it
the,
is.
Around the table.
Yep.
That's fantastic. All right. Anything else? We got about 30 seconds that you want to let people know about or just encourage people to give.
Yeah, I would just say, again, think about the fact that a lot of people, even though, you know, some of us have incomes and we're able to give, even giving something like $10 is better than giving nothing. And I think I can attest that it feels good to give, and knowing that this money is going to help literally your neighbors. Everyone in Central Vermont in every town accesses our food and our fuel. And you are literally helping your neighbors make it through the winter. So please give, and thank you very much.
Liz Scharf is the Director of Community and Economic Development here at Capstone Community Action. Thank you so much for being on with
Thanks,
me.
Thanks, Rick. It was great to see you and great to be on.
All right. Listeners, again, don't forget to visit fuelyourneighbors.org to contribute to this year's campaign. That's going to do it for our show today. Vermont Viewpoint is directed by Danny McGivrigan. You can listen to past episodes of Vermont Viewpoint by downloading our podcast at wdevradio.com. And it is sponsored by the Warren Store, funky, friendly, and almost world famous. Common Sense Radio with Bill Sarah is up next. I'm Rick Singeri. I'll meet you back here on Monday.